This month is a month of anniversaries. Yesterday was the 100th anniversary of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand and his wife in Sarajevo, an event which brought forth the First World War. But it is also the anniversary of another great event in recent history. That is the 70th anniversary of the landings at D-Day. On the 6th of June 1944, the Allied forces, Britain, America, Commonwealth countries, and the Free French, landed on the coasts of Normandy and began the great assault which brought down National Socialist Germany to its ruins. It was the largest invasion force known in history. God willing, it will remain the largest force in history. The forces landed on beaches in Normandy. They fought their way out of the beachheads they had established. And they won eventual victory 11 months later, when on the 8th of May 1945, Germany surrendered and the European war ended. Once again, this event has been celebrated, and there was a case of the old man who went from his nursing home and didn't tell them he went to Normandy. I remember that, especially since his surname was Jordan. My mother's surname was Jordan. And no matter where you go in life, there's always a Jordan. But it's a time when we stand and remember those men who went into battle, who gave and risked their lives that we should be free. But today we are in this place, worshipping God, and I am standing here preaching the gospel of God. And you're teaching your children the things of God. And you're not teaching them the things of Hitler. You're reading to them the scriptures, not Mein Kampf. It's a time for remembering. It's a time when we've seen old soldiers crying when they remember their colleagues who fell in battle. And for us in our house, it is a rather poignant time of the year, because we remember my father-in-law who spent his 6th of June 1944 on a beach in Normandy. And every time we see pictures of soldiers landing, British soldiers landing on the shore, we ask ourselves, is the man we love among them? Remembering is a special thing. Remembering is a privilege. Remembering is a pleasure. And remembering at times is a human duty. And we have a duty to remember those who fell. So it comes as no surprise that if we are to remember the great events of history, that the Bible tells us to remember the great events of Revelation, the great events of Scripture, and the great characters of Scripture. And it's to one of those calls to remember that the Scriptures speak that I want to turn our attention to this morning. And we find it in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 2. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. And if you want my text for this morning, it is simply those words: remember that Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. And this morning I want to look at Christ. And I want to, as it were, look at him and compare what he did with what happened in 1944. I want us to look, first of all, at and remember Christ under the heading, the invader, and secondly, Christ, the victor. Firstly, then, Christ, the invader. Christ, the invader. And like most of Western Europe in 1944, this world lies under a harsh and bitter tyranny. The Apostle John taught this when he wrote, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." Or as some translated, "The whole world lieth in the power of the evil one." We live in a world created by God to be good, but we live in a world in which the power of evil is rampant, where that power is experienced in the lives of every man, woman, and child in this world. The scriptures depict this world as under the sway of Satan. Our Lord Jesus depicts him as a strong man who has the people of the world as goods in his house. Our Lord Jesus said, "No man can enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." The people of this world are lost in their sins. They are blinded by Satan. They are treated by him as mere possessions. He is the strong man of the parable, and he holds men and women captives because those who commit sin are the slaves of sin, and those who commit sin are under the power of the devil. They are his children. They cannot break free. They are prisoners in the strong man's house. And there needs to come one who will invade the strong man's house, who will bind him, who will overcome him, and who will set his who will take his goods, who will set the people free. And our Lord Jesus Christ is that man who entered the strong man's house, who delivers men and women from the rule of Satan and brings them again under the rule and the authority of God. Men and women are slaves to sin. As Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a slave of sin." This morning, are you a slave to your sins? Do you do their bidding rather than you triumph over them? And which of us here do not know sins which seem to be our master, to which we are slaves? But not only does the Bible call men and women slaves, it calls them, as I said, the children of the devil. The Lord Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." You see, remember to whom he said that. He didn't say it to the men and women who regarded as sinners, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and the drunkards and the lowlife. He said it to the Pharisees, the religious people, the religious leaders of his day, so much so that they were looked up to by all the people. It was every man's dream his son would be a Pharisee, that he would bring that respect to the family by living such a close and holy life to God. It was to such people that the Lord Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil." It came as a shock to those who heard And to those who listened, it came as a blow to the pride of the Pharisees. Men and women, it was the truth. Every man and woman who is born into this world comes into this world as a sinner. They come into this world as a child of the devil. They come prepared to do his will. They sin against God with every breath they take, with every beat of their heart, with every thought of their mind. They love to have it so. Yes, this world may be under the thumb of a ruthless and evil ruler. For the devil, for the word of God calls the devil the god of this world. But know this, the people love to have it so. It's what they want. It's what they desire. They do not want God. They do not desire that God should reign and rule over them. They are content with their slavery. They are content with their chains. They are in darkness. So in love with their sins that they hate even the one who came to liberate them. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as a liberator to set those who were held captive free, to set men and women free, that they would know the purpose of their creation, to know that they could have true and eternal fellowship with Jehovah, the Almighty and the Everlasting God. As Paul put it, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. And the Lord Jesus Christ has done that. He has come and he has plundered the strong man's goods. You see, at the very right time, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world when the fullness of time was come. When time had reached the right moment, Christ was born. He did not come, as Wesley's hymn has it, late in time. Behold him come. He came at the right time. The moment that God had ordered all of the history of the universe and the history of mankind came to that moment when Christ was born, when he became a human being like you and me. He came with a purpose, and that purpose was to bring salvation to those who had suffered from sin and its effects. He came to those who were the children of the devil, and he came to make them the children of God. He came to break into the strong man's house. He came to overpower the strong man and to set the chattels free. That's why we need to remember Jesus Christ. And very often, I think, as Christians, we need to remember Jesus Christ more and more. Very often, I think, Christ gets lost in the busyness of the church and the busyness of its life, and the busyness of this and the busyness of that. We forget our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We forget how great and wonderful these things are. That the living God should take upon himself human flesh and enter into this world for us men and for our salvation, as the Creed puts it. The Lord Jesus came as a soldier to the fight. He came to fight evil, he came to fight sin, and he came as an invader to challenge the strong man in that which the strong man had begun to regard as his house. to bind him, to plunder his goods. This morning, let us remember Jesus Christ as the one who entered into this world, the one who has broken into the strong man's house as an invader, and who has begun to plunder the strong man's goods. For not only did he invade, our Lord Jesus Christ conquered. And the second thing I want us to note this morning is Christ the victor. Christ the victor. Victory for the Allied forces was certain when the German army failed to throw them back into the sea. It is said that had the Germans succeeded on that morning of June the 6th, 1944, to have confined the Allies to the beaches and to have defeated the Allied invasion, it would have taken the United States and our nation to 1965 to rebuild the forces they would have lost. The men and the equipment. But as soon as they landed and broke forth, it was clear the Germans would lose. Fighting a war on two fronts, a war they were beginning to lose desperately in the east. They were not capable of waging war on two fronts. Victory became certain, and the Germans failed to turn back those who landed. And we can be certain that Christ will win the great victory. That at the end of the time, it is Christ who will stand victorious. We know that, for that is the theme of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation isn't about some 7-year period in the future. It is about the great struggle between the Lamb and the dragon through the ages. And it ends with a glorious triumph of the Lamb. The dragon defeated and cast into the bottomless pit. We can be certain, for the decisive battles of the war have been fought, and Christ has been victorious. He triumphed over Satan at the temptations. The temptations aren't just an interesting story to teach us how to fight temptation, though they do. They are there to show us that Christ has triumphed over Satan. They are there to show us in the great clash between the Lamb and the dragon that the Lamb has won. He has triumphed over the temptation. Adam was tempted once, and he fell. Christ was tempted 3 times and many times thereafter, and he did not fall. There at that time in the wilderness, in that battle between Christ and Satan, there was a greater battle than any man, than the whole of mankind has ever fought. There in the wilderness of Judea met the arch rebel and the arch servant. The devil, that great rebel, met the Lord Jesus Christ, that great servant of Jehovah, the one who was utterly opposed to Jehovah's will, and the other who was utterly pleased to do Jehovah's will. The fate of mankind in the balance. 3 times Satan tempts Christ to turn away from the path that has been led out for him by God the Father. And 3 times Christ rejects the temptations, submitting himself to the word of God. In that encounter, Christ triumphed. The devil was forced to leave him. When Christ spoke, the devil was forced to go. Yes, we read that when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Yes, the devil would come again and again to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. The author to the Hebrews tells us Christ was tempted in all ways, even as we are, yet without sin. But it was useless. Satan knew that he would not sin. That Christ would obey God. That he would follow the path laid out for him by Jehovah. And he went and trod that path until he went to the cross. And there was the great event that brought forth the triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death upon the cross. There he suffered the punishment that was due to the sins of his people. There he endured the wrath of God as no other being will ever endure the wrath of God. And there he quenched its fire in his own blood. Who will experience the wrath of God at its deepest and its most intense? It isn't the devil. It isn't the men and women in hell. It was our Lord Jesus Christ as he was hung upon the cross. There he made the atonement that you and I could know the forgiveness of our sins, that we could know reconciliation with Jehovah, that we who were born the sons of the devil could become the sons and daughters of God and learn to call him Father. For the cross was at the center of Christ's ministry. He said of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He triumphed over the forces of Satan and sin. It seemed to many that day that Christ had been defeated, that his ministry had ended in failure. Here he was hanging upon the cross, and did not the word of God say, "Cursed be he who hangs upon the tree"? Must have seemed to the forces of evil that they had triumphed. And they crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he went there at the plan and the purpose of the Father. It was the Father's will that hung him to the cross, not the nails. Do you remember what the Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders said to him? "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God, and we will believe in you." He hung there, not because of the nails, but because of his Father's will and his Father's love. That men and women would be saved. For by his death, as the Apostle Paul told the Colossians, that it was God who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, my friends, you and I this morning who are Christians today are only Christians because of the victory of Jesus Christ. We're only saved today because of that he obeyed his Father's will, that he triumphed over the strong man and the strong man's temptations. We are enabled to come to this place to worship our Father this day because of what Jesus Christ did for us in living a godly, righteous life, and especially by his death upon the cross. We cannot even worship without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Once you and I were goods in the strong man's house under the power of darkness, and now we have been liberated. We have been set free. Our bonds have been broken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, does the Apostle Paul tell us to remember that Jesus Christ? You may say to me this morning, how do we know Christ was victor? How do we know that he triumphed that day on the cross? We know because he rose again from the dead. And if you ask me this morning, what is the proof of the resurrection from the dead? I would say to you, what day of the week do we meet on? We meet on the first day of the week, the Sunday. We don't meet on the Saturday, the seventh day. Remember who the first apostles were. They were Jewish men. They were used to meeting on the seventh day for worship. They believed that that was the day that God had sanctioned at the creation of the world to be the day of rest and worship. And remember, the apostles were devout men. They were men who knew and loved God. Why did they take it upon themselves to begin to meet on the first day of the week? It was because Christ rose again on the first day of the week. It was because Christ came and met them on the first day of the week. It's because when God sent forth the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the first day of the week. Because Christ met with the disciples on the first day of the week, he taught them that this was the day that God had set apart to mark the glorious gospel of Christ. They would never have changed it unless the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and had met them on the Sabbath, on the Sunday. That's why they delighted to call it the Lord's Day, because it was the day on which the Lord met them. It was the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ had set aside to have fellowship with his people. That's why we meet today. We meet because it was the example of Christ. He met with his people on the first day of the week. And so when we come here, Sabbath by Sabbath, we are proclaiming to all the world, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That he has triumphed over the strong man. That he has the power to plunder the strong man's goods. That he has power to set you free. Christ has triumphed. He has brought about a new era. We don't yet see the full reign of Christ, that great time of which Isaiah was speaking towards the end of that passage in which we read. But there is a day waiting, a day in the words of Habakkuk, which reflects some of the words we read in Isaiah, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. My friend, today, where do you stand? Where do you sit? Do you sit in a strong man's house? Bound? One of his goods? Treated like the devil as a possession, regarded by him as just one of his little minions, one whom he will damn to hell? Or have you been set free? Do you stand in the kingdom of God's dear Son? Has your heart been liberated from the darkness and the wickedness, from its enslavement to sin? Is your heart still occupied by the forces of evil, or has it been liberated by Jesus Christ? My friend, if today you do not know Christ, remember that Jesus Christ. Remember what he has done and turn to him today. If you feel the power of your sins in your life, if you feel the power of wickedness in your heart, then this morning turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee to him. He has the power to break the bonds of the strong man. He has the power to set you free. Come to him. Come and surrender to him. Come in repentance, forsaking your sin, and come and put your trust in him and him alone. Come and put your trust in Christ. My friends, how do you remember Jesus Christ? Remember him as the one who was crucified for your sins, the one who is your Lord and Savior? Or do you remember Jesus Christ as someone they talk about at church, someone the preacher goes on quite a bit about? But for you, Christ is unimportant. He's not a major figure in your life. You don't belong to him. You don't belong to his kingdom. And you're happy where you are. Happy in the strong man's house. Happy with your bonds. Because you see, you don't realize that it's a leash. And you're not really free. You see people in Whitehead walking their dogs, and the dog's on the leash, and the dog's running here and there, but the dog isn't really free. The leash is there. They can't go beyond a certain point. But the dog has the illusion that it is free. And men and women have the illusion as they sit in the strong man's house that they are free, because the strong man keeps them in bonds but allows them some movement in those bonds. Well, when the strong man's house is destroyed, they will be destroyed too. And this morning I pray, my friends, that none of you will be content to sit at peace in the strong man's house. You will begin to cry out to Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, may all of us here today remember that Jesus Christ. To remember, to praise him, to thank him for all he has done for us. May we remember him in our daily lives, remembering to live as his people, remembering his example, that when we are tempted, we will do as the psalmist said, we will hide the word of God in our hearts, and then we will bring it forth. That when the devil tempts us, we shall say, it is written, thou shalt not. May we remember Jesus Christ, to honor his name, to live in accordance with his commandments, to be found among his people, in his house, in his day, bringing glory to him. As day by day we open the scriptures to learn more of him, to learn more of what he has done for us and what he has achieved and what he will achieve at the end of time. My friends, you and I need to remember that Jesus Christ. We need to remember that he was the invader who liberated us. We need to be men and women who are thankful to him, who seek to bring him glory, who acknowledge him as our Lord and as our Savior. My friends, today, Where are you? Are you in the kingdom of Christ? Are you in the strong man's house? Are you really free? Well, the only bounds are those that are there to protect you. No one considers the barriers which hold them in as they walk over a bridge as tiresome. They see them for what they are. They see them that they are there for their safety, that they are not there to constrict us, but they are there to keep us safe. And so are the bounds set by the word of God. They are there to guide us. They are there to keep us safe. Or are you bound in the strong man's house, running about on his little league, deluded that you are free when you are in the almost abject of slavery? How will you remember Jesus Christ as the one whom you have rejected and spurned, whose command to repent and believe you have refused? Or will you remember him as your Lord and Saviour? The brightness of your heart, the life of your soul. My friends, you will remember Jesus Christ. But how? As your judge or as your Saviour? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He came to break into the strong man's house, to unbind the strong man's goods, to carry men and women to freedom. Yet, Father, there are so many in our world, maybe even in this congregation today, who prefer to live in bondage to the strong man than come to Christ, to live in liberty and in light. O God, we know that we will remember Jesus Christ. We pray today that by your grace we remember him as our Lord and as our Saviour, that we may remember him in our daily walk, that we may walk, O Lord, in the ways of righteousness and the ways of peace. Enlighten all of our hearts to see Christ for who he is, and give us, O Lord, wills that we may obey him, that we may come to believe in him, that we may repent of our sins. O Lord, be with us. Give us grace to go forth from this place and to live as the people of God. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.